giving me this scripture. Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall you dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. So rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and forget not thyself in any wise, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. But the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows become broken. And to that I say amen. Amen and amen. So let's turn to Esther. This is going to be a two-parter this next week. So we're going to go and we're going to look at Esther in light of today, actually. And Esther is, I forgot where Esther is. Esther is after Nehemiah. Now in Esther, most of us are familiar with the story, but some of us may not be, so we will read it. We're not going to read it all, but we're going to read the highlights. And now Esther lived in a time that the Jews were really hated at this time, especially by those who were of the Antichrist spirit. Especially in the days of Esther, there was a man named, anybody know who it was?
Haman.
Haman. Oh, you're not supposed to answer. Just one. I know you know. A man named Haman, and he was of the descendant of the Amalekites, which was a descendant from Esau, and he was not very friendly to the Jews. In fact, he hated the Jews. And he had a thorn in his flesh in those days, and the man's name was, oh, he was Jewish, and his name was Mordecai, because Haman was very close to the king, and when he went out on his horse strutting around town, he wanted people to bow. They were supposed to bow. But Mordecai would not bow. He was supposed to, but he wouldn't. And boy, did it make Haman mad. Especially that he was a Jew, that really made him mad. And it just was always one of those thorns in the flesh. Every time he went out, there he was. He wouldn't bow, and it would just tore up his day. Until finally he decided, hey, I'm going to do something about it. In the meantime, Esther begins with the story, and we'll read it in chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus that He reigned from India even to the Ethiopia over 127 provinces. He was a pretty, he had a lot of territory. In those days when he sat on the throne of his kingdom in the Shushan Palace, he put on a big party. And, you know, a big party meant drinking and this and that and the other. And he was just showing off and showing, talking about how great his kingdom was and entertaining. And he decided to show off his wife. Now, what's wrong with that, right? He's a king. She was beautiful. He wanted to show her off. Well, we won't get into the details of that part. But we have, okay, we have these players in this. I'm going to break it down into players. Okay, we've got the king, and I'm just going to put King A. And we have Mordecai. I don't know how to spell that. Anybody know?
Mordecai.
We have Mordecai, we have, I don't think that's right, but Haman. I should have put Haman under the king. Haman, maybe it's one M. Okay, Haman is under the king, and Mordecai is the Jew. Now, at this party, the queen, her name was Vashti. And we're going to put Vashti up here, and I'm putting their names up here for a reason. I don't usually do that when I'm teaching, but V-A-S-H-T-I, I think. Vashti, she's the queen. Now, if you wonder why I'm putting them up here, I'm going to show you why. Because I'm going to compare these people in this story to something that we're dealing with today. And so I'm going to pretend that Vashti here is the church. She's the church today. I'm going to bring this into today. Okay? So Vashti's today's church. Haman is Antichrist. And let's say the king, even though he wasn't a godly king, we'll say he's Jesus. And Mordecai is going to, if I want to think of what he might represent. He's a watchman. A watchman on the wall. An intercessor. Sorry. Now, there's one more player, and guess who? Who did I leave out?
Esther.
Thank you. Esther. That's what the book's name, Esther.
And Haggai.
And who?
Haggai.
Well, we're not going to get to that yet. I'm not doing Haggai. We're just doing these four here. So let's say Esther is the remnant. The remnant church. Now, I know that's kind of strange, but I'm going to proceed in that vein, and it will make sense in a few minutes, I hope. If it doesn't, just let me know. So, when the king had the party, and he invited Vashti, his queen, to come, because he wanted to show off his beautiful bride, she was too busy. She said, no, I'm not coming. I'm entertaining all these ladies in my banquet. I'm not coming. Well, how many times is the church today not hear what the Lord's saying and not answer his call? I'm too busy, God. I'm too busy. I've got things that are more important here. Well, that put the king in an uproar. Now, Jesus doesn't get in an uproar. But that put the king in an uproar. Okay? But it really perturbed all the men in the nation because, you know, they were rulers. Back then, and even today in the Middle East, the men rule over women. So they were the rulers, and so they were all upset too, because they were afraid because she didn't do what her husband said to do, that all their wives were going to just go off the deep end. So they were all upset. The party that was fun became an uproar. Hey, what's up? What's going to happen? So they sent word to the king. We don't like this. We're worried our wives are going to go off the deep end. I'm paraphrasing. Okay, that's not what the way the Bible puts it. But just in case you didn't know, I'm paraphrasing. So they're all worried they're going to go off the deep end, right? So the king says, whoa, I can't have this. So people suggest to him, well, king, you know, this has got to be taken care of. So the king decides he's going to boot old Vashti. Well, we know that Jesus didn't boot the church, but he decides that there's somebody out there that's going to take her place. Now, I realize that the remnant of God's people today are not taking the place of the church, but there is a remnant of God's people today who will stand up and take their place that God has prepared for them, and they will operate in that place according to the word. They will be what's called the manifested sons, because they will be obedient, they will be sold out, they will know the word and the voice of God, and they will do it. Well, that's the end of the comparison. That's the end of the cartoon, so to speak. Okay? So we got Mordecai the Jew. He wasn't at the party. But Mordecai comes on the scene because, lo, he hears what the king decided. The king said, I'm going to look out through all the land and see if I can find somebody to be my new queen. And so Mordecai the Jew hears the message, and he says, hey, I have the right person, and it's Hadassah, which is the Jewish word for Esther. Now, she needs to go and apply. I don't know how they did it, but I don't think they wrote a paper, but I don't know how they applied for the job, so to speak. But he encouraged her, and she went to see if she could be the king's queen. But she was obeying. Who was she obeying? She was obeying her overseer. She was obeying Mordecai because he was her father, not her real father, but he fathered her because her parents were not alive. And so she did what he told her to do, even though she was probably pretty scared. But she did. She did what he told her to do. Now, so this whole land is looking for this beautiful woman that the king would pick to be his queen. And we know that was Esther, right? So she gets in there. She's the queen because, well, there are several things, but that I'm not going over the whole story. I'm just cutting to the point of today. So Esther is the queen, and I say she is, where is she? Esther. She's the remnant, okay? So the remnant is what we'll call her the bride. We'll call her the perfected bride, the remnant. And she lives with the king, and she does what the king says, and she gets to see the king sometimes, and yada yada. So she's the queen. In the meantime, Haman, with the Antichrist spirit, who is close to the king, I mean, he's got the king's ear. The king listens to him. And so Haman, he decided that he was going to get rid of all these Jews. He got rid of all the Jews, that everything would be okay, because he wouldn't be harassed anymore. So he goes to the king and he says, King, there is a people who Don't listen to exactly what you want done. I'm just putting it real, real simple. And so the king says, okay, and he says, well, here's what we can do about it. I'm going to send a decree over the whole land, and I'm going to say, in such and such a time, in a certain time, our people can go kill the Jews and take everything they have. So that would wipe out all the Jews, all of them, in that area. Now, let's go back to, let's talk about today. Let's talk about where we are today. Today, in our country, we have a change of the guards. And the change of the guards, so to speak, is doing some different things than that are contrary to our Constitution, contrary to our faith, and they want to wipe out our faith. They want to get rid of the freedom of faith. And so, what did Mordecai do when he found out that the Jews were going to be destroyed? He went in sackcloth and ashes, rent his clothes, and moaned and cried in the streets. He did something about it. He let everybody know that this was not okay. Well, this is not okay. And Esther heard all about what was going on, and she said, what in the world is wrong with my uncle? So she sent a messenger. She found out, Esther, this man, Haman, has sent out an order for our whole race to be destroyed. And she says, oh no, well, what can I do? He says, you can go before the king and talk to him about it, because that means you're going to get wiped out and all of our race is going to get wiped out. You will not escape this either. Remember, she's the remnant. Okay? In our country, we have laws that are being changed that are going to change things in a very negative way. And if you haven't paid attention, there are some laws that we need to pay attention to. And I'm not going to go into the laws, because we're each responsible, we're adults, and we have a responsibility to know what's going on and what is going to change our life and how it's going to change it. And we have, like Esther, we're in a position that we have something we can do about it. And yet, Esther was afraid, because she thought something was going to happen to her. She thought, well, the king won't accept me because he hasn't called for me. And if he doesn't put his scepter out and I go and try to talk to him, I'll be killed. Okay. Well, there's a lot of people in our country today that are not doing the right thing because of their fear. And that's the sad thing. So, what is she going to do? She's the remnant. She makes a decision. The decision that all of us need to make. That our life, we lay down our life for the cross on a daily basis. We don't live by our fears. We aren't motivated by fear. We're motivated by what God tells us to do and what he wants us to do. And Mordecai was her overseer. He was her watchman. And he was the one that represented even the king to her, even Jesus to her, because he was her overseer. But he's a watchman. And he's watching everything that's going on. And he's so much of a watchman that he saves the life of the king. So here he is, watching over Esther and the king and looking for the things that are wrong and revealing them to the king, because he saved the king's life when he heard about a plot to kill the king. So that's his job as a watchman, okay? Which I believe truly is the job of us as the remnant, that we're watchmen. And that Esther, being a remnant, decides when her uncle says to her, "But Esther, you could die otherwise. You could have been put in that position for such a time as this." And sonship, we are part, if we choose, to be the remnant that God chose for such a time as this. Now, what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to be a watchman. We're going to intercede. We're going to pray that justice be turned back forward and truth be in the streets of America. And that the Vashti Church, who has lost her standing, will pray that they'll come back and do their part. Now, that didn't happen in, that we know of, in Esther. But we have a part in what is happening in our country. A lot of people fear, like, if they're Christians, that we don't have anything to do with politics. And that's just not so. We have to do what God tells us to do. In the early days of our country, the people who established the Constitution were pastors, they were Christians, they were soldiers, they were men from all walks of life who believed in freedom. And God helped them create a constitution that gave us a Declaration of Independence that gave us inalienable rights, and the constitution that gave us freedom of religion. But I tell you right now that if we don't do our part, if we don't watch and intercede and pray and do what God tells us to do, then it's going to be on us, folks, what we lose. God will hear our cries. He's not deaf because things are the way they are. He's listening to his people, and we need to pray. And we are fortunate enough to live in a free country that is for the people and by the people, and that we have a voice to contact our representatives and let them know what we think and what we support. And most of us don't do that. Most Christians don't do that. They just sort of pray and hope things are going to go right. Well, we've got to do more than hope, because there's a lot of blood that was shed for our freedom. Freedom's not free. Our freedom in Christ wasn't free. It cost him everything. And we have a responsibility to pray, to know what's happening, and ask God to give us the ability to do what we can do in our part. You know, when I was younger, there was a law passed, and I really, Alyssa, do you remember what year that Roe v. Wade was passed?
in the 60s, I think. I don't remember the exact time. 64, 68.
I thought it was in the 60s when I was, you know, just coming out of high school. I had no idea. And nobody paid attention. Nobody knew what that meant. Nobody was watching. They just let it go. And let the enemy deceive people into thinking, oh, well, it's just a freedom of choice. It gives us freedom. But now, the blood of millions and millions and millions of babies are on our watch and on our blood and on our ground in this nation. And not only that, we're promoting it. Our country, you and I are promoting it in other countries too.
Right.
So we need to be on guard. We need to be watchmen. We need to be doing what God's telling us to do. And we need to be paying attention to what's really happening. And not just say, oh, well, God will do it. No. No. Mordecai said, Vashti. Well, Mordecai didn't say, but Vashti dropped the ball. She's sort of like the church that missed it. And the remnant, Esther, she decided that she would lay her life down so that her people wouldn't be destroyed. But God didn't come down and change the king's mind. He involved people. He always involves people because that's what his choice is. That's the law he made. He gave us the place to rule and to reign on this earth with his help and his guidance. That's our job. We are Jesus on earth. Now God's sovereign, but that's what he chose. And each one of these people had a part to play, good or bad. And we have a part to play in what God is doing on the earth, especially where we live. We have a part to play in seeing the harvest come forth and what God wants us to do in the heart with to bring forth the harvest. We have a part to play. God's not bringing forth the harvest without people. He sends laborers. Who are the laborers? We are the laborers. But we are blessed enough to be in a country. There are countries that don't have any say over what happens in their government. But we do. And we are very close to losing that if you don't pay attention and you don't get on God's agenda. Because God does not want us to lose that. God does not want us to be in bondage. I was listening to a pastor, his name is Rick Renner, and he went to the Soviet Union when they were changing over to Russia. And this pastor was sitting, in fact, he's doing it almost every day on TV. It's so important to him. His family went over to be a missionary in Soviet Union. And when he went over there, it was horrendous. It was absolutely horrendous. They were, well, I won't even tell you what all he said about it. It was just horrible. And he had pictures, but he's been there for 20 years, as long as Sonship has been around. And he's been there for 20 years, and now that they've come out of socialism and gone into capitalism, the whole country is a different country. He has the largest charismatic church in Russia, in Moscow. And they have freedom that we don't think they have because we're told otherwise. But they have a lot more freedom than God has changed things since he's been there. God has done a great and mighty work in Russia. And he said it looks totally different. And I won't go into the description of what it was like. But we've got to be on guard. Because God has given us a free country. Men spilled their blood so that we could have our freedoms, so that we could worship freely, so that we could do what free people do. But we have an Antichrist spirit that's rampant in this nation, and we're going to have to take the authority that God's given us and intercede and pray and do what we can do and not sit by and say, well, how'd that happen? I didn't know that was going to happen. We need to know, and we need to know what God wants us to do and do our part, because I don't want to be like Vashti, who when the Lord said, pay attention, I need you. I want you to come here. And, well, Lord, I'm busy right now. We all have a responsibility to this country to know what's happening, to know what we can do about it, because we are the country for the people and by the people, unlike any other nation in the world, because of the Lord Jesus Christ intervening as we came over here. And I won't even go into the history, because a lot of you probably already know the history of this country. So we have something valuable that God is holding us accountable for, individually and as a church. And whatever the price, we don't have to lose our country to get the harvest. I do not believe that. I believe that the harvest is coming. And I believe that it'll come whether we lose our country or not, our freedom or not. But it'll be a whole lot smaller. That's what I believe. And I don't just make up what I believe. I have been interceding for a long, long time. And I hear the Lord's voice when He shows me what to pray. I don't decide what to pray on my own. I don't say, oh, I better pray about that. I ask God what to pray about. And I know how He's been leading me. And I do want to make one more comment. Since all of the things with all the prophecies that supposedly weren't fulfilled and all this, I do want to make a comment. I want to say that prophecy has a responsibility. Prophecy, I mean, Timothy was told to do a warfare over the prophecies that have been prophesied over him. Prophecies are something we war and we agree with God with. And have we done our parts? Have we done our parts in the prophecies that have been over our lives, over the church, and what our mission is, and over our country, and what our country's mission is? I'm just saying. We need to realize it's just because we get the word, we have to walk in faith and believe. When the Lord speaks to you and says, I want to bless you, we walk in faith, looking for that blessing. We have to be a part of that. That is essential. So don't think that just because a word is prophesied, we just go our merry way. We have to agree with God. God says to be in agreement with Him. This is part of intercession, being in agreement with God, not telling God to be in agreement with you. We intercede and pray before the throne to be in agreement with God. And when He brings forth prophecies in our lives, we need to be in agreement with that and pray and see that we're in agreement with it too and agree with God. It's very important. So, think about the prophecies that have been spoken over your life. Review them if you haven't in a while. See if you're in agreement, and if you haven't been thinking about it, you're just waiting for God to pop it into your life, make a change. Start agreeing with the Lord, with the words that have been spoken. Because too many words can fall to the ground if we don't walk in agreement with God. And you can decide whether you've been in agreement with your prophecies by going over them and looking at them. And our dear sister Beth here goes over the prophecies all the time. She's praying, right?
He used to be better at it.
Well, I didn't say you were an A student. I said, anyway, we all need to go with the prophecies that have been spoken over this church. And I know that there have been a lot of things that have come out of it because Deaconess Michelle has gone over it with
Wendy.
I'm sorry.
Blank. Okay. Wendy.
Wow.
Sorry. It's made an impact on you, hasn't it, Wendy?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you give an example?
I came back right afterwards. I mean, I'm here now, aren't I?
Yeah.
That's a great example.
Really?
Yes. It brought me right back.
That's a pretty strong testimony.
Absolutely.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you are bringing us to attention in all the areas you want us to be in attention to. Lord, some of us, you're moving us in different directions. You're moving us up and down and all around. And help us, Father, to cooperate with you and enjoy the ride, but help us to be in agreement with you and the things that you called us to be in agreement with. And help us to be good watchmen over the freedoms that we have in our nation and those who are standing for righteousness in our nation. And we just thank you, Father, that you are doing a mighty work among your people. But, Lord, you are separating. You are separating out. And I thank you, Father, that we will be a church who moves up to higher ground together in Jesus' holy name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God.